welcome to the Forest Lakes District EFCA podcast. Our focus here is to connect, equip, and multiply churches with a vision to glorify God by multiplying transformational churches amongst all people. You are listening to our series called Stories of Discipleship. Our hope is that you will walk away feeling encouraged as we celebrate the amazing things that God is doing in the area of discipleship in our churches, while also equipping one another to be better disciples who multiply other disciples. Welcome to the Forest Lakes District podcast, Stories of Discipleship. If you've listened in the past, you're well aware that our episodes were created from workshop recordings. We love for our conference to extend beyond that day, but now we're wanting to try something new and share stories of what God is doing in the Forest Lakes District churches in the area specifically of discipleship. We as a district and as Christ followers feel the weight of Christ's commission to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that's why we started this series. We want to do two things. We want to first celebrate God moving in and through the people of our district in this area of discipleship. And second, we want to learn from those who are doing discipleship well and glean any wisdom that they may have for us. So today, this is kind of our pilot episode, and I'm really excited about it. We'll start by doing some introductions since none of you can see us. I'm Steph Berg. I'm the communications director here at the Forest Lakes District, and I'm joined by Ashley. Ashley, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Ashley Hofferman. I'm the credentialing and church multiplication manager with the Forest Lakes District.
Awesome. And our guest today is Cindy Groshek. Cindy, do you want to give us some general info about ourselves, like what church you're at, what you do inside and outside the church, and then kind of the stage of life that you're in, because that obviously affects how we do discipleship.
Sure, exactly. First of all, thank you for allowing me to be a part of this. What a privilege. I feel inadequate to be speaking and giving anyone advice on anything, but thank you for asking me. So my name is Cindy Groshek. I'm in the stage of life where I have grandchildren and grown sons and wonderful daughters-in-law, and absolutely loving that. Our family started attending Woodlands about 20 years ago when our kids were in their teenage years. I am by trade, I am an accountant, and presently I'm working part-time at Woodlands Church. Just retired from my full-time accounting career about a year ago. And decided to pick up some part-time hours, doing something a little simpler than I was doing. But that's pretty much where who I am and where I'm at in life. Did I forget anything?
No, I just want to call out that we need people like you, because with accounting, you paired it with the word simple. And anytime we're doing anything with our budget or anything, I'm like, no, peace out. I cannot even think in numbers. So I'm glad that you think what you're doing is simple, because to people like me, it's not. So I'm glad we're all made for certain purposes.
Right. Exactly.
That's yours. So yeah. I love it.
Awesome. Well, Cindy, we're ready to jump into some conversations surrounding discipleship and making disciples. Mm-hmm. So my first question for you is, when did you first learn about or maybe even experience discipleship? Like, were you discipled, or was it a concept you learned about at a certain point?
Yeah. So discipleship was a very foreign thing to me until I was well into my adult years. I grew up in more of a works-based church, and, you know, valued church and God, but didn't know about salvation, didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus, didn't understand grace, didn't understand about faith in Jesus and how wonderful that is. When I was in college in 1983, I actually attended a Fellowship of Christian Athletes evening with my now husband. And that was the night that I surrendered my life to Jesus. So it's still a tender thing. Yeah. But unfortunately, it was a very private thing. After the meeting, I went to my own dorm room and quietly knelt before the Lord and just laid my heart out for his saving. And he did. But I did not choose to follow him closely. I didn't reach out to even, at that time I, expressed to Duane that I had, had that conversation with God and felt different, but I didn't have any friends really in that community. It was just a year away in a different town. And I was kind of a stranger just there because my fiance was in his senior year of college. So I wasn't surrounded by a group of believers. And so I kind of did it on my own and not well. Mm. When I came back to Stevens Point, Duane and I got married a year or so later. We were very involved in our church. We did Bible studies, led some Bible studies, but we were still practicing in this more works-based church, hoping to make a difference. As our kids came around and they got older, we were like, uh-oh, wait, we're teaching them the gospel and we're teaching them about Jesus. Mm. We need to move on in our Sunday morning worship into a different place. So we did, and we ended up in a church that was very gospel-centered. And a woman there about 10 years older than me kind of took me under her wing as a good friend. Discipleship was not a word. Mentoring was not even a word. She walked alongside of me. Her kids, her sons were 10 years older than mine. She was 10 years older than me. And everything that I did, she pointed me back to Jesus. And surrounded me with lots of scripture and lots of comfort in all the trials we go through as moms raising young kids. And we had some extenuating medical things in our family that we had to walk through, and she walked with me very closely in that. As the kids got older, we decided it was time to again look for something that would help them to grow in their faith. So that's when we found Woodlands, or it found us through some mm-hmm. friends and so forth. God moved us there. And that was the first time that I started hearing about mentoring, really. And I was invited to a meeting. This group of ladies were like doing the whole Titus thing. And they invited me to this meeting about mentoring young women. And I went seriously thinking I was going to get a mentor. And when I got there, pretty soon it became obvious that they were considering me one of the older women. wait a minute, hold the brakes. I don't know how to do this. I don't know what this is. And I was never paired with anyone, which was probably a good thing at that point. But anyway, I went on and kept continuing to grow in my faith. And I reached out and led some studies, just grew on a more personal basis, hooked up with friends, did, you know, accountability, that kind of thing. And then it was about 2012, 2013, when I started feeling the pull. Like, that big group Bible study stuff was wonderful, but I had such a desire to be in a more intimate group of women and really know them and to build into them. At the same time, my youngest son was at school in Madison, along with your brother, Steph.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And involved in the Navigators, and very much about discipleship. And he was starting to put thoughts in my brain about, man, this sounds really wonderful. And so at that time, I kind of reached out a group of, there was about five of us women at Woodlands that said, man, we're going to start some small discipleship groups. And we started to huddle and figure out what kind of curriculum we would use and so forth. So that was 2013. And I guess, I don't know if you want to go into the next question or if this.
Yeah.
Just continue on with.
Yeah, that's great.
Is that okay?
Yeah. Our next question was kind of leading into, how did you start discipling others? And what are the big themes that have switched or changed from when you first started to present day? So yeah, talk about that.
Yeah. So when I got assigned my first group of ladies, I was sick to my stomach, nervous, because I felt that I was going to need to teach these women. And I felt inadequate, like we all do and probably should, right? Because I mean, handling of God's word and the truth is a very delicate thing. And and yet knowing that the Holy Spirit empowers us to do so. And so when these women came to my front door that night, I was just like, oh, okay, God, you're going to have to do the work. And then as we sat here at my kitchen table and I learned about them a little bit, I learned that they all were strong believers And then I felt even more inadequate because what was I going to teach them? I really believed a lie at that point and was thinking that I had to have all the answers. And I thought that I had to teach them something new. And I guess I really didn't grasp at that time that it was about just walking alongside them and encouraging them and continuing to point them to Jesus. Again, I feel like I was still kind of in that workspace, like not that I was earning my salvation, but that I had to prove, I had something to prove, like, okay, I have faith and I'm good at believing in Jesus, you know, I'm good at. An older lady, again, an older woman in our church, a woman of just well-respected and a woman of faith, her husband's a pastor, invited me to lunch and said, I've got to show you something. I'm reading this book and I feel like I've heard the gospel for the first time. Mm. And she was reading a book called Good News for Those Trying Harder by Alan Kraft. And she said, please read this and you'll see what I mean. And I read it and it was all about, just like it sounds, good news for those trying harder. And it was all about resting in the full and complete power of Jesus. And it's nothing on our own. And again, wow. it wasn't that I was trying to earn salvation, but I really felt like I had to perform to please God. And I was still kind of in that mindset. That was really the turning point for me where I realized, oh my goodness, there's so much more to that. And then the stuff that Isaac had brought home, my youngest son, was like some Jeff Vanderstelt material with the song.
Of course.
So I switched right over to Gospel DNA, which was a study that Jeff Vanderstelt had written. And it was something I just pulled off the internet. My girls didn't have to buy a book. I printed them copies and binders. And we went through that. And that was, they all said it was life-changing for them. That is where we dug in deep to what lies are we believing? What truths are we not believing? Are we believing the gospel and are we empowered by the gospel in our everyday life? Are we living out the freedom we have in Jesus and are we sharing it? Are we really living, like I said, the life Christ asked us to live? Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of, I think, where discipleship became very real to me. And I was so freed because I just got to walk alongside these ladies and keep pointing them to Jesus. And so, I mean, since that time, our group has changed over and it's probably like 15 different women that have kind of cycled through.
Yeah.
It's been beautiful because there's been some very seasoned believers. There's been some very new believers. Mm-hmm. I could give you a whole stack of books, which you guys probably already have read all these books that we've been through. But in the end, it's not about a book, you know,
right.
It's
about Jesus.
Absolutely.
And did you stay with the same group of women, that original five? Did you have them, were you discipling them for like a year at a time? Did you just feel that natural moving on? Did you set kind of a standard beforehand or how did you structure that?
Yeah, I did not set anything. I know that's kind of the thing, but I didn't do the thing. So these women really just bonded. I mean, they treasured our meetings. They treasured each other. We had, we did the, you know, constantly encouraging through texts and emails and celebrated birthdays together. We really did life on life as well as our weekly meetings. And so I would say after about a year, one of the gals stepped out. She needed to kind of do some other things, but the rest of us stayed together for probably, I would say maybe 5 years, 4 years. And then I'm just trying to think when that was. I'm trying to think when COVID hit in there. But
oh, yes.
then another group kind of came. So then we had like two of the original group and two more added. And then, so that's kind of how it progressed. Now, currently, I just started with a new group this fall. And there are women. It's a totally fresh group. Mm. It's very cool seeing what God's doing. In them. And again, I know that it is a good thing and I've said to this group, this is really the first group that I said to, okay, when we're done with this, like we're going to go through a series of books and time spent together. And then the expectation is really that you go out and disciple other women. So yeah, we are going to have that move on. And that was part of the agreement for them to be part of it. I said, is this what you want? If you want that, if you long for that, the group for you. If not, then, you know, maybe you just want to do a Bible study or whatever. So this group is all in about, yep, we're learning. And we talk through that on a weekly basis and say, this is so important. So when you are meeting with your women, you know, in a year or two, like, this is something you're going to want to be making sure you just hit hard with them. And so that's been really cool. And I think this is probably the first group that we've talked like that, but never really asked them to kind of make a commitment to do that going forward. Yeah.
Great. I was going to ask quick, how did you find your women? Like, did they seek you out? Was it from people previously that you've discipled, word of mouth, or did Woodlands pair you with them?
Woodlands really has been pairing, I would say, for the most part. I mean, as the group morphed, that was, you know, one thing. Yeah. One lady would say, okay, I've got someone who's interested. This group kind of started because my friend, a lifelong friend, she's a friend from childhood, just came into faith in Jesus about a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, after years of encouraging her and her sister encouraging her. And she finally had a life-changing event that just brought her to her knees. And she saw Jesus for the first time for who he is. And so she and I asked her, like, would you like to start meeting? And she said yes. And so then it was like, okay, now we're going to try to find a couple of other women to come alongside. Then I reached out to Woodlands, and they were able to say, yep, there's these. And they gave me a whole, like, five or six names, and calling and contacting these people and saying, this is the commitment we're asking you for. This is, so if it's not for you, and this is what we were left with. I wasn't sure if God wanted just Carla and I, my friend and I, or if he wanted, you know, four of us or two of us or whatever. So it was like, okay, God, let, you know, the ladies will know what they want to commit to or not. So this is what we ended up with. And it's really been, it's been good. It's so rewarding to just watch their faces light up as they realize a new truth, or like, oh my goodness, yeah, I haven't been claiming that, I haven't been believing that, is that really true? And then we look it up in scripture, and it's been really sweet.
I love it. And I love how you pulled back the curtain to kind of what goes on a big church scale, how when the church is on board with the value of discipleship and is empowering people with the vision to empower the next group of people, how that's just so helpful, because people are in the church, that's where they come, and that's the starting point. But if we can funnel people into groups like this and have women like you available to take people in and do life with them and speak scripture over them, how valuable that can be. So I love that Woodlands is moving in that direction. I've been part of one of those groups as well, where it was very much like, you're here because we can see you doing the next thing. Mm-hmm. And I love that that's what you get to kind of instill into your groups. That's really, really cool.
And I know the leadership of the discipleship, we call it a huddle. The leaders meet to kind of recharge each other, right?
Yep.
One of the leaders of that, I remember her saying early on when we were back in the old, the gym, when we were still meeting in the gym, she said, you know, Cindy, I look at all these women. She said, I sit in the back and I look at the backs of all these women, and I wonder how many of them know the joy of freedom in Jesus.
Mm. Yes.
And that's, you know, women need that, right? We need it, and we need to be loved, and who better to love us
right.
than Jesus. So.
I love too, something that I'll pull out from the things you've said, Cindy, in your personal walk, it sounds like you went from this place of inadequacy. And then what's the word that you use? Inadequacy in that works-based reality to freedom. And how cool that God used you mentoring and discipling others to kind of mentor and disciple you out of that bondage that you were carrying for a really long time. And now you get to pass that on. So it's this revolving like round and round of the Lord just redeeming and restoring things to himself. And I think that's that's really cool to see play out in your story. We know that those things happen, but now we get to hear of it happening with someone that we know, somebody local, somebody who we love. So thanks for sharing your story in that way.
So Cindy, you shared with us a little bit earlier that one of your misconceptions in discipleship was feeling like you had to have all the answers. So I feel like that's something you learned of it, of discipling, by discipling. So are there any other maybe misconceptions, or what are some of the most valuable things that you've learned surrounding the ministry of discipleship?
I guess in that, you know, just looking at that big lie, that big misconception of needing to know it all and have it all. It's just that that total reliance on the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you that there is still that feeling of inadequacy. Like I said, I think we would be wrong to come at it thinking we've got it in the bag, you know, that we can do it on our own. And so there isn't a time that I meet with them that I first don't sit down and just get on my knees before the Lord and say, okay, this is your night. Because most nights, you know how it is, you're tired. You're like, really, do I have to do this? Uh-huh. But he always shows up. I think, you know, for women who are, especially those who know the Lord and have that personal relationship, to not be afraid to enter into those relationships and walk alongside a woman, because it's not about knowing it all. And I think that keeps a lot of women from entering into that, because we're just not sure we can do it right. We don't think we can answer all the questions. You know, maybe when you're not good enough, we might think, whatever it is, but God does the work. It's not about us. It's about Him. And we just need to be a willing servant, a willing set of hands and feet and mouth, and He'll use us. You know, He just does.
That's great.
Ashley, I feel like this kind of hints and would naturally flow into your next question. Do you want to go ahead and ask that one?
Yeah. So Luke 14:27 says, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Can you think of any instances where being a disciple maker or a disciple has cost you something, Cindy? And how was it worth it?
Well, I think about, there's a couple of different things, but I think of mostly when I left the big group, when I was co-leading a morning Bible study. I had probably 30 or 40 women, which is a lot of women in the early morning study. They're coming at 6:30 in the morning. It was closer to 30 probably by the end of the study, but I had such great fellowship with all those ladies, and I could walk through Woodlands on a Sunday morning, and I knew, you know, a little bit. I didn't know them intimately, right? But I knew a little bit about them, and I felt like people knew me and they recognized me and so forth. When I stepped away from that and decided to just meet with a couple of individuals, it wasn't long that I felt left out of that group. Not that they were doing anything wrong, obviously they weren't, but pretty soon I would see, you know, the group that is like, oh, they're over there talking. And even if I went up, it was like, I was totally, they're talking about who they've been praying for as a group. And I'm like, I'm really out of the connection. So I think that was hard for me, because I really enjoyed those relationships. Then the other thing I think is, just the time commitment. It is, you know, you do commit to building into, women when you do this. And so there's that commitment to every Wednesday night, just, or for us, it's Wednesdays. I mean, it's like if you're in a life group or anything else, right? You want to be committed to that. And so sometimes there's other things going on, whether it's, you know, grandkids that ask you to come to something or whatever, and you kind of have to make those choices. Which one is more important? And I try to keep those priorities straight, but sometimes it's just, no, I really need, I know something hard is going on with the women and we need to meet, and I have to of something else I wanted to be a part of. So I think, like, off the top of my mind, those are really the biggest things, because honestly, it's rewarding anytime you meet with someone, right? And right. can see them excited about the relationship with the Lord. And you know, you can encourage them in that. That's rewarding.
I love that. And that definitely leads to the next verse that we wanted to highlight. It says, "By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." And so you kind of hinted at this, even as you were in a way counting the cost of what it takes to be someone who disciples other people or be a disciple yourself, you have to count that cost. For every yes you say, there's going to be some no's, and we can grieve those things and we can acknowledge those things and feel that what it is like a loss. But through those, tell us about, and I know you've highlighted some of this, but you can kind of, you know, go through that again. What fruit have you seen from your investment of this time and energy in the realm of discipleship?
With the women that I have spent time with and discipling, it's been incredible to hear them, to get together with them. There's one gal in particular that I still meet with on a probably semi-monthly basis. And to hear of the relationships that she's been involved in or is involved in now. And just, it's just amazing to think that something, you know, I was fearful of at the beginning is now continuing to go on. I see even in even the ladies now I'm thinking about in our group. The one gal is, she's talking about, as she's learning things, she's talking about, oh man, I can share this with a coworker. This is perfect. This is something that will open a door to be able to talk to someone that she's not even in a discipling relationship with. Right.
Right. Right.
I remember reading something in, I think it was one of Jeff Vanderstelt's books, like maybe Gospel Fluency or something, but talking about how sometimes we think of discipling is only for believers. But really, you're discipling unbelievers too, right? Because you're telling them about your walk with Christ and how good it would be for them to be able to experience that too. So I love when I see the gals I spend time with tell me stories or hear them tell stories about how they're sharing some of the truths they've learned, some of the things they're excited about with people who aren't necessarily believers or even have any interest in faith stuff, but there they are sharing some of the things they've learned. I think some of my most favorite discipleship stories I probably should have mentioned earlier is it's not even those organized discipleship groups.
Yes.
I have a dad who is 85 years old and he really came to faith in Jesus, I would say about 2 years ago. And we've had some really hard medical situations with my mom. And it's been through that really brutal process that God drew him to himself. Wow. And now this was a man who always believed in God and grew us up in the church, but really had no relationship and was a fairly angry individual. Very hard. And now I have a conversation with my dad every morning. And mostly every morning he says, either he'll say, I just got done spending time with Jesus, or he'll say, I got to go because I got to spend time with Jesus. And he tells me how, yeah, I got frustrated with mom and I raised my voice, but I asked Jesus to forgive me. And I also asked mom to forgive me.
Wow.
And talks about heaven and my dad, like, that's amazing. And now my grandkids. Just having conversations. I had a conversation with my grandson a couple weeks ago. He's acting out and just struggling with outbursts. And I just said to him, you know, honey, do you have Jesus in your heart? And he said, yeah, grandma, you know, they call me Gigi, you know that I do. And I said, well, then if you have the Holy Spirit, we don't have to act like that. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live the way God asked us to. Remember all the, you know, peace, joy, love. And he's telling me what the fruit, you know, the Spirit is, and just sharing with him the gospel of you can live differently. You can, you know, you have Jesus, like that's discipling. So I feel like I'm discipling my dad and I'm discipling my grandkids. You know, this morning, my grandson told me on his birthday, I called him and said, hey, I'll see you later at church. And he said, Grandma, we are the church. And I was like, oh, okay.
Wow.
then I'll see you where the church meets.
Yes.
So, you know, I think of, again, the organized discipleship is amazing. I love it. But I also love just walking through life and sharing Jesus with my neighbors and my dad and my grandkids and reminding my husband that the truths of the gospel, you know, and how we don't have to behave like this or act, reminding myself, like preaching the gospel to myself. I feel like I'm discipling myself most days. So sorry, I went off on a bunny trail, but.
No, that was great. And it illuminated something really important where I think sometimes in the church, we can overstructure things where it's like, okay, I'm going to disciple this next group of women, and then they're going to go disciple the next group. And we forget that discipleship is truly like a radiating from us. Yes. And it should come out in those relationships that are organized and maybe even a sign, but it should also come out in those relationships where we're just rubbing shoulders with people.
Absolutely.
Or our own parents or our grandkids, not my grandkids, we're not there. But someday, like that's exciting to think about, about doing that and just having it first come from within you and being a disciple yourself and how it does go out in every direction, not just a linear one. So absolutely. I love that. Well, do you have any last thoughts or stories you'd like to share? You can say no to this question, but I don't want to leave anything unsaid. So if you feel like there's a parting thought or a story or anything, and Ashley, feel free to throw out any questions that have come to mind as Cindy has been sharing, but just opening the floor up.
Yeah, I think, I really don't think I have anything specifically, but I do like what you said, Steph, about you know, being careful not to overstructure, because when I look back at the New Testament and I look at, you know, Jesus did say, go make disciples of all men, but he didn't talk about, you know, make sure you read books and make sure you, you know, and do point one, two, and three, and then make sure you have a commitment from people to go out and do this. Those women should want to do it because the love of Jesus is so overflowing. I mean, just so filled their heart that they can't keep it to themselves. You know, I think of how often we hear of a good sale or a cure for some issue we're dealing with, and we just can't wait to tell people. And that's my desire for these women is that their desire would be to share Jesus, because they're so passionately in love and grateful for what he's done, you know, that they want others to experience it. And I think that's something I just try to keep in mind is we use all these buzzwords, right? Gospel fluency. But the gospel is Jesus. You know, it's everything about Jesus. It's the good news about Jesus. And so we just got to keeping on, you know, spreading his good news.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. And I noticed too, throughout when you were talking, you had mentioned a couple books. One was Good News for Those Trying Harder. You mentioned Gospel DNA and then Gospel Fluency. I'm going to go ahead and put those in the notes for this episode. So if people want to go check those out, if any of those struck a chord and they said, oh, I think I need to read that, I'm going to link them up so that we can just start building kind of a bank of good resources that are in this area of discipleship for people to grab.
Another one, Steph, you might want to add is, I know the gospel-centered life is a really good starting point when people are first starting to meet with women. It's just laid out really well, easy to follow. There's no homework, you know, that's always a blessing. And so that's really a good resource too for groups that are starting. So.
Awesome. I will add that one as well. Yay. Ashley, would you mind praying for us as we wrap up?
I would love to. Father, I thank you for this precious time with both Cindy and Steph. I thank you for the ways that I have been encouraged and compelled to grab a few ladies and invest more time to be intentional with my time. And Father, I pray for those that may be listening today. God, would you encourage them where they're at? If a pastor's listening to this, God, would you ignite the flame that maybe you've sparked in his heart today when it comes to this very important ministry of discipleship? God, I thank you for the ministry of Cindy Groshek, and I thank you for the lives that she has touched and been a part of. I pray, God, that you would continue to ignite the ripple effect of discipleship in their lives. And I pray for the women that are in Cindy's future. I pray that you would draw them to Cindy, and that those times in ministry would be very sweet. And God, I pray more than all that we would just have our eyes fixed on you as we live out your commission to go and make disciples. Again, I thank you for this time in your precious son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Forest Lakes District podcast. To connect with us or for more resources like this one, you can visit our website, www.forestlakes-efca.org.